This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Happy New Year, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for jumping on my show. Boy, it has been a wild couple of days. Barbara Walters has died. Pope Benedict has died. Nobody won the Mega Millions, and it keeps on going up and up. And hey, people talk about the lottery. I say that this show is always about what's happening in your backyard and mine. And a suspect now has been honed in Pennsylvania, awaiting extradition to Idaho, and lots of missing details should be revealed, I would think, coming up in this week at some point, and then later in the weeks to follow. And I think that's a story that really touched all of us. I know that it really, really rocked me when I heard that story. I felt so awful for the family, certainly. Let's talk about Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict, it was so unusual because he resigned 10 years ago. First time that's happened in 600 years. So you really had a pope who was retired and the current pope. So Pope Francis led tributes to his predecessor on Saturday after Pope Emeritus Benedict died in a monastery in the Vatican at the age of 95. He said, "We are moved as we recall him as such a noble person, so kind. We feel gratitude in our hearts, gratitude to God for giving him to the church and to the world." He said that in St. Peter's Basilica while leading a traditional Vespers ceremony ahead of New Year's Day. So now what happens, the funeral of the Pope will be held on Thursday in St. Peter's Square in the Vatican at 9:30 a.m. local time. There, the funeral will be led by Pope Francis. There was lots of controversy in the time that Benedict was Pope. There was controversy even after he stepped down, after he resigned as Pope too as well. But there are lots of tributes that are pouring out from so many who were touched by him in his years before being, before being the Pope and during his papal time. So an interesting moment in time to have this Pope pass away, and then what is the decision to do as far as burial, etc. Barbara Walters, certainly legendary news anchor, was known for her interviews, some of them hard-hitting, some of them with celebrities, always pressed, always got her person, glass ceiling breaker, opened the door for a lot of women journalists, especially on television, you know, the Barbara Walters specials, the 10 Most Fascinating People. She was a co-host and correspondent for ABC News. She started The View on daytime television, a daytime talk show. We had a diverse panel of women discussing, you know, the headlines. So she definitely made her mark. There's no question about it. You know, 50 years in television, 50 really plus years in television. So there's all kinds of tributes that have poured out for Barbara Walters from both men and women in the industry. I say she was one of the goats, that's for sure. So rip to Barbara Walters. All right, in the meantime, something that has gripped us has been the deaths leading up to the holidays, because it happened before Thanksgiving. Leading up to the holidays, I really felt this. I really felt terrible for the families that who did this? Who can we hold accountable for this? Why do we not have any breaking news in this? I talked to people I knew in Idaho. We had people on the show to talk about this kind of a crime. The suspect in the killing of the four University of Idaho college students is going to waive his extradition hearing this week to make his return to Idaho faster. He faces four counts of first-degree murder. Brian Christopher Koberger is the suspect here, 28-year-old. He was arrested in his home state on charges related to the fatal stabbings of those four students. And what's so strange is things like, I don't think his family knew, of course. His father went to Washington to drive with him in that white Elantra that they had caught on a camera, and they were looking for somebody who owned a white Elantra. So it goes all the way back to Pennsylvania. And ultimately, all these 20,000 tips and everything else that came through, the police were playing it close to the vest, what they started to know, what they started to find, and how that forensic evidence is coming together and things they can't release right now because of the way the law is in Idaho. Because there hasn't been any confirmation of the suspect's motive, if he knew the victims. You know, those deaths obviously ripped up that college community in the surrounding town of Moscow in Idaho, and the murder weapon hasn't been located. And even the Moscow police chief, James Fry, on Friday when the story broke, confirmed that. But there has been the arrest of this suspect, who was a PhD student at Washington State's University Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology. He lived, you know, a stone's throw away from this other campus where we're talking about a 15-20 minutes. And so now how does this all unfold? And thank goodness what they found, this DNA evidence and confirming his ownership of this white Hyundai Elantra seen near the crime scene, thank goodness all of that unraveled, because I think this was really the downfall of him and how they came to get him. And that cross-country drive, arriving at his parents' house, then law enforcement getting him, the FBI surveillance team tracking him for 4 days before his arrest while they worked with prosecutors to develop enough probable cause to obtain a warrant. And, of course, they used genetic genealogy techniques, which is incredible, to connect him to unidentified DNA evidence. So I think as this unfolds, more of those details that we don't know, we will start to get a handle on that and have a better idea of what happened. There has to be some sort of relief, if you can call it that. I don't know if it's relief, but at least somebody has been picked up for these murders, because it's been the thing that's been hanging over the heads of the families as they think and grapple with this, and frankly, so many other people, right? So it is 2023, and what can we expect in 2023? A lot of people thought, it seems like everywhere I look on social media, people were complaining about 2022, and then I looked at something I saw earlier in the day today, that just 1 in 3 Americans had a great year, 57% expecting 2023 to be much better. And where do you get this information? This came from a survey where people, by one poll, where they related things that happened during the year, et cetera, and all that kind of stuff. So, wow. How about that? I think 2022 is a great year, and I thank all of you for being a part of it. So many emails. I always say that it's so true, the amount of mail that we get from you. Keep that up, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We have some other surprises that we'll unveil in January. We still have more Nail the Score to play. We just missed 1 week because of the holiday, but coming up this Tuesday, we'll have the final regular season Nail the Score in our last segment of the first hour. You can call in or send me an email once I reveal the game of the week. You just pick a side and tell me what you think the final score is going to be. And Mega Millions, wow, nobody picked the Mega Millions number. So that means there's another big drawing for lots and lots of money. Who wants to be a billionaire? It's crazy how this just keeps rolling and rolling over. So Tuesday will be that next drawing, and of course we'll have those numbers for you. We got a great show, some of the highlights of this year. Hang through.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Joins us. He's written a book called Faith Under Communism. We had a fascinating conversation off the air about how he grew up, what he had to deal with, and how tough it was to emigrate to the United States, and what changed, and what he wants to pass on to people, and what they don't understand about communism. Simon, your book is fascinating, and the things that you dealt with. Let's talk about the village that you grew up in and what it was like.
Well, I grew up in a village where was nothing, just a dirt road, because the communists, they don't want to do nothing, just leave everything like that. They want to force the people to move to the city, not to live in the villages. And was very low life. That's why the people doesn't like it.
But in this remote village, you talk about not even no electricity, right, at one point.
No. No, they bring electricity like in 1965-70, but in our home, they don't let us to connect to the electricity because we was Christian, and the Secret Service said, your house is lighted by Jesus, and you don't need our electricity. And after 10 years, when I put the paper, I said, I want to go to America, and they give in to us electricity.
Wow. So when you said you wanted to leave, they decided they would put it back in the house.
Yes, because that's what I put the discrimination. It's illegal for a Christian to have electricity in the house. We have all connection. We pay everything. It was like $30,000. And the Secret Service said, you're never going to have electricity in your house. Call Jesus to give you some electricity. When wow. I put the paper, and they was very mad, and fast they said, okay, you have electricity, you don't have to go in America. I said, thank you. I decide to go in America. and we'll start from there, we'll start the trouble and fight and everything. They said it's easy for us to kill you. You're never going to see America.
Wow. How frightening was that? Because you wanted to get to the U.S., and how scary was it to try to do that and worry about your family and worry about your safety?
Oh, I know. They told us lots of times, we're going to kill you. And I told them, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to be the first one. They kill lots of people. And I told them I don't change my mind. I want to go to America, and I don't like the communism like that because they don't let you do nothing. Absolutely, even offense. If you do it, why you do it? How come you have money? Everybody was poor, very poor, and was nothing. We don't have any store in the village, just a small store and a bar. That's it. Was years and years till the revolution. They don't care about people. They care only to take your money, your tax, your things. You have to give eggs to the city, chickens, hogs, everything was, they come and took it from you.
And you talk about going to school and being, you know, persecuted at school, and then when you get out of school, you work as a locksmith. How much did you make as a locksmith a month?
A month was like $75.
Wow.
And we work Saturday too. You have to work, and you have to work one Sunday a month too. For people from office, they don't pay you. Sometimes they pay, sometimes don't. All the time they took hours. We must have like 200 hours working, and they pay us like 180 all the time, 20 hours. They took it to pay people from the office because they don't have money. And with $75 a month to pay the bus, the train, everything was nothing. Lots of people, they crying, and women crying because they can't pay the electricity in the city. In the village, the people doesn't care, but it was very hard. Was no heat in winter time because they don't have money for heating. The life was going bad and bad and bad, and nobody cares.
Why'd you write the book? Tell us why you wrote the book.
When I came to America, in that time came in power in the United States, Ronald Reagan. When he became in power here, the communists slowed down because President Reagan was very wild against communists. And he called the Romanian president to stop killing people and don't mess with me. And he slowed down. And they let me come to America. And they said, you can go to America, Simon. We didn't kill you here, but we can kill you over there if you talk about us. And I came to America. I have 3 kids, 2 boys and 1 girl. They grow up. Now they are with family. I have 9 grandkids. And I explained to them about communist, socialist, how work, and why I emigrate, because it was very hard life. And my son is police officer in Gilbert, Arizona. And he said, Dad, why you don't write a book? Because I like my kids to learn about how is socialism and how you live in socialism. And they insisted to write a book for them. And I did. And now I like everybody to find out the truth about socialism. The socialism doesn't work. Work only for few people who's in power. When I live in communist, a major in secret service said, Simon, it's time for you to be a slave for me. You work and I stay. I don't do nothing. And that's why you are not going to go nowhere, because we need people to work for us. That's the socialism. Some people who's in power have good life, and the rest of them, nothing. Just poor, and they take everything you have from you to control you. And that's why I write the book.
Yeah, and so your family knows and understands it, how other people understand what it was really like. Then when you get to Oregon, you talk about your family and your grandchildren. So thank goodness you pushed, you made that happen, and you've had a good life here in the United States, right?
Yes. I like America. It's a very nice country. It's very clean. I like it's very clean America. If you go in the city, it's clean. The people, they are very educated. Nobody fight with you. Nobody yell to you. Nobody do nothing to me. Even when I don't speak English, I work. And nobody was mad on me or to say something to me. And communism, they are very rude. Everywhere you go, they talk very rude with you. That's why I like America a lot. And I never gonna think to go out or... It's a nice country.
Well, this is a great gift to your children to know more, and also for other people to understand what it's like to understand what it's like to grow up that way, and to have constantly somebody on your back, and knowing that there's so many risks to growing up and to what happens when you speak out. And the book is called Faith Under Communism. Simon Hulbier, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, because you take me in the show, and the communists put me in jail 5 times. And even I told them, if I go in jail 20 times, I am not going to quit. That's why I am here in America.
And good for you.
I hope all young people are going to read my book, and they're going to learn the truth about socialism. I didn't put anything fake in the book. Everything is original, 100%.
Simon, thank you. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you very much to take me on the show.
So fascinating story, Simon saying that he wanted to tell his story and he wasn't worried what would happen. You heard him say he was in jail 5 times and the persecution he went through and how he really, really wanted to get to the United States. It is a fascinating read. And it shows you not to take for granted what we have here in the U.S. So we thank him for joining us.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Prince Harry is losing support among the British following the release of his Netflix docuseries, Harry and Meghan. A recent poll conducted by YouGov in the UK found that almost half of the respondents think the Duke of Sussex should have his royal title taken away. According to the poll, 44% of the respondents said it should be removed, while 32% thought he should retain his title. The public's opinion of Harry and Meghan slumped after the docuseries was released, with 23% saying they now think worse of the couple. Just 7% of the respondents said it made them think better of the two. I'm Blue Flores, USA News. A new COVID variant is rapidly spreading across the country, according to the Centers for Disease Control. The new Omicron variant, called XBB.1.5, accounts for over 40% of all confirmed COVID cases in the U.S. 7 days ago, the strain only amounted to 21% of cases. CDC officials expect the variant to increase across the country and become...
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Introduce you to Terrence McCarthy. His story is one that I think it's fascinating, but it will also maybe surprise people who didn't know what happened. The real story, Cambodia and South Vietnam, 1953 to 1970. He was a U.S. Army intelligence officer, Major Terrence McCarthy. He was assigned to U.S. Military Assistance Command, Vietnam, in August of 1968. And it's fascinating what he chose to do when he picked the out-country section in the Intelligence Production Division. And that's where we start. Terrence, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
So tell us about making that choice and your road to Vietnam.
Well, it was one of those things that I recently became an intelligence officer and got some schooling. And then I also, my first assignment, I was assigned to the School of the Americas down in the Panama Canal Zone. And I taught for 2 years individual soldiers from 17 different countries. And it was all in Spanish. And before that, I never spoke a word of Spanish. So that was a real challenge. And then from there, I was selected to go to Vietnam. And I went to Biggs Air Force Base in Texas. And I spent 16 weeks learning to pick up phrases and use the Vietnamese language, which that was a real challenge as well.
Tell us why you wrote the book, because you really inform us of so much we weren't aware of.
Yes. Well, number one, we were operating in the most frustration of environments you could possibly be, because in the southern South Vietnam area, the Vietnamese communists had all these base areas, and they used those to assault our forces that were located in that sector of the theater. And the problem was that the administration had established a restricted policy where we were not allowed to go into the Cambodian base areas and begin tactical initiatives. So the Vietnamese communists were very wise to this, and so they would come across the border and assault our good old U.S. soldiers in quite a few of the areas around those particular base areas. And then once they did their damage and inflicted a lot of casualties, they ran back across the border, and we were absolutely powerless to do anything about it. So it was very frustrating. And General Creighton Abrams, who was the commanding general of MACV, he just threw up his arms, and he says, "You know, I don't know what to do about this." And so I was very fortunate to have a wonderful staff supporting me, and I set about to try to get some real wonderful intelligence on the Cambodian relationship with the Vietnamese communists. And in doing that, in 40 days, I was able to establish a very wonderful, no hands holding, complete proof positive that the Cambodians had made an agreement with the Chinese communists to help bring supplies in for the Vietnamese communists. And that was because we had a tricky leader in Cambodia by the name of Norodom Sihanouk. And he was very sly and did an awful lot of propagandizing about how they were being mauled and put off by the U.S. forces, so that he tried to make us the number one enemy. And so what I did, once I got into the intelligence mold, I had to establish contacts, because we didn't really have any contacts throughout the southern theater there that were providing any meaningful intelligence as to how the Vietnamese communists were getting their arms and ammunition supplies, because we had established an operation called Market Time that shut down all of the Republic of Vietnam coastal areas, so they couldn't bring anything in there. The Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was over inflated as to what they were doing there, it came down from North Vietnam into the border area of northern South Vietnam, and they at that point were constricted as to how they could move supplies. The eastern Cambodian provinces were pretty fluid, and so I had to help set up a couple of camps along the Ratanakuri, Mandalkuri province, and with some Molten Guards and the 5th Special Forces, and they were able to provide a airtight surveillance as to what was moving into the Cambodian area from North Vietnam. And what we were able to prove positively was that there were no roads in that part of eastern Cambodia, so there is no way they could truck any supplies in. And so that pretty much restricted the flow of the arms and ammunition, and so that we had to I had to establish contacts with I had my own jeep, and I'd go from the Tan Son Nhut airport down into downtown Saigon to the embassy, and I would talk to the embassy people about what they knew, and which was not very much. And and where I really struck gold was making contacts with the CIA chief of the element that they have there at the embassy. And they had a very good working supply of agents that were gaining and gleaning information from what was going on with the Cambodians and then Chinese communists. And I also would touch base with the Naval Forces of Vietnam, and they're the people that were instrumental in establishing what we called the market time operation, which reinforced the ability for the North Vietnamese to bring anything in across the coast. And then I also spent time a couple times a week talking to the Australian attachés in Phnom Penh, and they gave me all sorts of information about Tricky Sihanouk.
And what he was doing. Yes, and that's and so much of your book you talk about this, and we only have a couple minutes left, and you do this in detail, and it's wonderful. The Real Story of Cambodia and South Vietnam, 1953-1970, and get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Terrence MacArthur. And you tell the story about Westmoreland getting you an appointment at the White House and then briefing your connection, you know, getting that connection on foreign intelligence, and then everything breaks open because of all that hard work that you did. Ultimately, what do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Well, what I want them to take away is that the military intelligence is something that really has a tremendous and profound capability to penetrate into foes that we run into around the world. And mobilizing that the American forces is what to really help turn the whole thing around for us in Vietnam.
Yeah, and your hustle and your hard work and being willing to accept the assignment, picking that, doing that, working those contacts, and, you know, rattling the cages in Washington and not giving up on that when it can be so frustrating. And that's how we started talking about the frustration of trying to get heard and getting the story out so that the intelligence was there and the dots could be connected. And you were the ultimate connector. So you can get, again, this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Terrence MacArthur, what a pleasure to talk to you. The Real Story, Cambodia and South Vietnam, 1953 to 1970. Thank you.
My pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
The
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
His hometown kid, city kid, a true story of a basketball team amidst demographic change. Jim Dimmock Jr. joins us, and his story is one that some people might even know. For those who don't, we're going to enlighten you as to what it was like and what he went through. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
What was it that finally made you decide, I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to write this story?
Well, I was hired as the boys basketball coach in Richfield, Minnesota in 2001. I was the coach there for 9 years. The school district was going through rapid demographic change. My basketball team was 80% white kids who lived in homes. They were sons and they were sons of homeowners in Richfield my first year. My last year, the basketball team was 80% black kids. And as I went through these 9 years and I shared what was going on with my inner circle of friends and my family, everyone said, you've got to write a book, Jim. This is about a lot more than just basketball. You need to write a book. So that's how it got started.
And what was it like when the demographics changed? What did you deal with? What was it like for the team? What was it like as far as administrative pressures, I guess, and parents?
Well, first of all, I can say that the kids got along great. Getting the parents together was a whole different issue. And there were many white parents in Richfield who welcomed the diversity, welcomed the competition, welcomed these African-American kids in. But there was a small group of people that did not like that change. And the book actually has five different storylines that are all parallel storylines that unfold over these 9 years. And they are a collection of separate incidents that kind of tell this story. And the first storyline is the high school boys basketball team, and we went to the state tournament, first state tournament trip in 31 years. We had packed gyms on Friday nights. It was really fun. The second storyline is about the youth program, the kids in grades 1 through 8 that were playing basketball, and how their parents reacted to the fact that my first year, the youth program was 95% white kids, and after 2 years, it was 50-50. And the third storyline is the community, and right from the get-go, there was a small group of citizens. They called themselves the concerned citizens. They did not have kids on the team, and they tried to get me fired. In my second year, after my fourth year, and after my ninth year. And after my ninth year, they were successful with a brand new administration. And the fourth storyline is open enrollment. And in Richfield at this time, the last 3 or 4 years I was there, about 10% of the student body of high school age students were open enrolling out of Richfield to a neighboring, more affluent white high school. And 10% of the high school students in Richfield were open enrolling in from South Minneapolis, and they were almost all African-American kids. So you had one-tenth of the high school age students open enrolling out and one-tenth open enrolling in, and that was a hot-button issue. And when kids from Minneapolis displaced Richfield kids, a lot of people didn't like that. And my detractors, I'm sure, would argue that my firing had nothing to do with race. It was about open enrollment, and it was about me recruiting kids into the community that were not Richfield kids. However, if you look at the percentage of open enrollment kids in the basketball program, that never changed over 9 years. It went from a white team of Richfield kids to a black team of Richfield kids. And the fifth storyline is about coaches being fired. And in Minnesota, there was a bill passed in 2007, whereas a high school coach, if he or she gets fired, he or she can request a hearing in front of the school board and state their case why they should be reinstated. And I exercised this right, and I listed the positive attributes of the program, both academically and athletically. And then I showed the school board with charts and definitions and pie graphs that if we ran the program the way the complainers wanted us to run it, it would be a textbook case of systemic racism, backed up with an argument of tokenism. And so it's those five storylines, and they all kind of intertwine and tell the story of how this inner-ring, tight-knit suburb reacted to this. And there was a lot of positives, but there were some negatives.
How tough was it for you, and obviously because you were passionate, you liked coaching the team, the kids got along, the kids were easy, it had to be really tough on you to constantly battle these opinions of people and what they were doing, and then ultimately getting fired had to be rough on you. How did you bounce out of that?
Well, what happens is, Kate, every year that you go through this, and people come at you and attack you, your skin gets thicker. And it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. It was tougher on my wife and my father than it was on me. But, I mean, every time something happened, my skin was thicker. And I came to realize early on that these people were going to try to get me fired for any possible reason they could think of. So I had to be perfect in all of my behavior. And that just became like a sixth sense. You were always aware that somebody was trying to, you know, watch you make a mistake somehow and then tell everybody and then spread the word and add up more evidence as to why I should be fired.
Mm.
And in the end, when I was fired, it was not embarrassing at all. Everybody was surprised, I think. I mean, a lot of Richfield people came up to me and told me, you know, we didn't want you fired. We had no idea. We had no idea this was coming. You did a great job. Thanks so much. So I had a lot of positive feedback from people in Richfield throughout the entire process.
What do you hope people who are listening to this conversation across the U.S., what do you hope they take away from your book, this conversation, and getting your book, Hometown Kid, City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change?
Well, you know, if I could back up a little bit, I also realized that in order to give the documentary of what happened in my 9 years there a platform, I had to write a short history of the suburb and a short history of the high school athletic program. So, you know, and I've had people tell me that have read the book, well, it tells the story of the inner ring suburbs of Minneapolis. It tells how those suburbs have changed demographically. And I would like the book to raise questions about how we as northern United States white people react to this when kids of color move into our school district. And, you know, it forces us to look ourselves in the eye and ask ourselves, now, are we being welcoming or are we being old-fashioned and racist about this? And one of my friends said, when you add up all the separate incidents, you have to ask the question, was race an issue? And I know that the answer to that question is going to be divided. There'll be some people that would say race is not an issue here at all. It wasn't an issue. And other people have told me, well, race was definitely an issue. So there's two different opinions on this situation that I went through. And when I went through this, when they were trying to fire me two times, it was a big deal in Minnesota. It made the major newspapers. It was on talk show radio. And there was a big public debate statewide about me and about open enrollment. But they didn't really talk about demographic change at all. That was kind of swept under the carpet. And the book shows that that was part of this whole controversy.
Wow. What do your family and friends think now that, yes, you did it, you did the book?
Oh, I've had a lot of positive feedback. In fact, I was over at Richfield for a parade 3 weeks ago, and a woman came running up to me. Oh, I got your book. I read the book. I loved it. I'm telling all my friends to read it. I had a retired gentleman in his 80s who played sports for Richfield back in the 1960s when they were a statewide power, and he came up to me and he said, Jim, I read your book. It's awesome. It tells the good and the bad about Richfield, and we needed to hear that. So there's been a lot of positive comments from Richfield people, which has really given me encouragement.
Well, good luck with the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Jim Dimmick Jr., Hometown Kid, City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change, all the things that he talked about, the five storylines, all of that is wrapped into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.